speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
This morning, what I want to do in the time that we have together in the presentation of God's Word is to speak in regard to deacons. You know, as we think about the church is the most wonderful institution that our God has created. We know that God is responsible for the creation of government, and we are grateful for God's forethought in regard to giving us a governing body to rule over us as citizens of a land. God is also responsible for the institution of the home, and the home certainly is a wonderful institution that we ought to count as a blessing and thank God continually for. But you know, as we think in regard to the greatest institution on earth, good people, I believe that that institution is the Lord's church. And in giving the Lord's church, we understand that God had prophesied through the Old Testament prophets that the church would be established. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44, God said through this individual that He would establish a kingdom that would not fall into the hands of another man or into the hands of other kingdoms, but rather that He would establish a kingdom, a singular kingdom, that would exist through the ages. We understand, as Jesus Christ our Lord lived here upon the face of the earth, that He was going to establish that kingdom. In fact, in the book of Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, our Lord said that there were many standing in His presence that day that would not taste of death until they saw the kingdom of heaven come with power. He was speaking about the day in which, after He had died at Calvary's cross, that the Lord's church would be instituted and that it would come with power by the powerful preaching concerning the message of Peter and the others that day concerning the Christ, but also that it would come by the power of the Holy Spirit. How that the Holy Spirit would work through those individuals at that day to institute the body of Christ. Jesus, in speaking to the apostles in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, He had asked those men who were there with Him, "Who do men say that I am?" And man thought that He was Jeremiah, Elijah, one of the other prophets. And Jesus then turned unto Peter and said, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus went on then to explain. He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but My Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that upon this rock, upon your great confession that I am the Christ, I will build My church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it." Good people, we turn through the New Testament Scripture in the book of Acts chapter 2, and we find the church being established. And from that point forward, whenever the Lord's church began, we see that the disciples of Christ, New Testament Christians, reached out to proclaim the Word of the Lord. And as the Lord's church continued to grow, and as congregations were planted and added throughout the entirety of the world, we also understand that the Lord had in His eternal plan for the establishment of, or for the organization within the church, leadership. He desired for elders to be established in every congregation. And eldership is a plurality of men who qualify according to the standards that God spells out in 1 Timothy chapter 3 as well as in Titus chapter 1. And these men are given the responsibility from our God to lead and to feed the flock according to the will of God in a way that will be pleasing and acceptable to God while they are here, but also in a way that will deliver them as saved individuals before our God whenever mankind stands before God in the final judgment. And we also understand, though, that not only does God desire for elders to serve in the church, He also identifies as that there are to be deacons in the body of Christ. Deacons are servants in the church. From the Greek word dikaios, it is those who are servants. And the servant that they are to be under is to be the servant of Christ. And in serving under Christ, then, they are to be servants like Christ. And here at East End, we are truly blessed at this time to have seven men serving as deacons in the body of Christ. These men and their families are a blessing to us. They love the Lord. And not only do they love the Lord, good people, it is very apparent that they love each and every one of us. Why do I say that? Because they labor continually in the Lord's work, and they do this because of the love that they have for God as well as for the love that they have for you and me. And yet at the same time, even in the fact that we have seven men who are putting their hands to the work and doing a wonderful job, as elders of the body of Christ, we recognize that there is a need for other men to be added unto deacons here at East End. While these men who have and continue to serve as deacons, we want to encourage them and to recognize them today for their work. We also understand is that they have had more than what they can handle, and in that we recognize their need for assistance in the work of the Lord here. And therefore, we have taken it upon ourselves as elders not only to recognize this need, but then in like figure to express before the congregation of the additional needs that are there. And in response to this, then, the congregation has a responsibility, as you have responded as the Lord's church, to look out from amongst us and to find men who qualify, to find men who certainly will serve well as deacons, to find men who certainly are living their life according to the will of God. And in this, then, the congregation has the right as well as a responsibility to submit names unto the eldership for consideration. And church, you did that in the selection of the men that will be added today as additional deacons. As elders, we sat down back early on in July, I believe it was, and began consideration of men for service as deacons, and we listed seven men. In that, as we requested from the congregation that you also consider men and that you submit men, names of men, you also submitted seven names, and those seven names are the same seven names that we came up with. And that tells us that we are thinking the same. That tells us that not only are we thinking the same, we are seeing the same seven men who qualify, who want so much to serve and will do a wonderful job. These men are given then the opportunity to consider the Lord's work. Do they have a desire? As elders, we have met with these men, and certainly we understand that yes, they have a desire. And in this then, we have given them opportunity to consider the things that we are considering them for to serve in the church here. And as they have given consideration to the call that God has laid upon them through His Word and through the outpouring through this congregation, these men have accepted that charge, and therefore they will be appointed, as Brother Bishop will lead us in that ceremony later on. The elders then have the responsibility to make the assignments. God identifies through the Scripture the works of the church. And good people, that is very essential, that we understand the works that God spells out explicitly and implicitly. There are things stated in Scripture that God says very directly. These are things that the church must be doing. But also there are things that God gives us, and therefore we infer based out of the examples that are there that these are works of the church. And as elders of the church, we understand that there are a great number of works that we are engaged in as well as works that we need to be doing. And in this, then the elders will make the assignments in regard to the works that these additional men will be doing as deacons. We realize that these men must meet the qualifications that God lays out in Scripture. What are those qualifications, good people? These men who are currently serving and those men who are going to be added here in our service today, they must be men who respect God's inspired Word. In that, not only do they accept that the Bible is the inspired, inerrant Word of God, but we also understand that these men, in their understanding of God's Word being delivered unto us, that they do all that is within their power to do to live godly life. And as we look to these men, we understand that certainly these men are doing all that they can to live in accordance to God's will. They are living according to a pure life. Yet at the same time, we know that no one is perfect. All sin and fall short of the glory of God. But these men and their love for God and in their pursuit to live faithful before God, whenever they do mess up, good people, they are man enough to admit their wrong and then to correct that. In like figure, the Scripture identifies in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10 that they ought to be proven. The Scripture in the New King James says that they need to be tested. And in testing, we have responsibilities that we see these men being engaged in and over the course of time. And as we see that these men are able to handle the task, then this is the test that is laid upon them. And based out of that, then it is proven before us that indeed these men are truly servants of God. But in like figure, not only do we look and to consider the men, we also need to consider the way in which they work with their home. Their wives must be God-fearing women as well. And these women need to do all that they can to live according to the will of God. And as we have looked to the men who are going to be appointed today, good people, these women also love the Lord and they do what is within their power to serve God faithfully as well as to be servants within this congregation. But also they must rule their house well. God defines that the husband has a responsibility to be the head of the house, to make certain that his home is living according to the standards of God, but also to make certain that they are productive citizens in this world. And these men, that their names have been submitted before you, and these men who will be appointed later into this service, these men certainly have their homes in order from all that we can see. And God says that those who serve well, men who are currently serving, and those who are going to serve, I need to tell you today that in your faithful commitment to God, we want as the congregation to recognize you and to honor you on a continual basis. But even at times where we might neglect you to where we may not mention it, we want you to know that we stand behind you. But also in this, I want to stress that in the end, our God will reward you for your faithful stands, whether or not you receive recognition from us. Our God sees your work, and our God will reward you for the faithful servant that you are in the Lord's church, in the body of Christ. These men labor in the church. And as they work in the church, good people, we need to understand that they work for God. Men, as you are working, you are a servant of God. You are employed by God, if you would, to do His work and to focus and to commit to doing the things that He commands of you to do as a deacon. All of us as Christians have responsibilities and we need to take those things serious and to do it. But as deacons, you are taking an office or a role as a leader in the church, and therefore you need to understand that everything that you do needs to come from God, as well as that you will answer to God whenever you stand before Him in the final day. But then in like figure, deacons are to serve under the oversight of the eldership. The entirety of the congregation is under the eldership, and even if those of us who serve in the eldership, we are one elder within the eldership, and we serve under the other elders. And yet in this, though, deacons serve under the direction of the eldership. We said a few moments ago that the elders had the responsibility of assigning the works unto the deacons. And in that, then, the deacon takes the work and considers it and makes plans as to what needs to be done. And then he executes in doing under the direction or under the oversight of the eldership's approval. But in like figure, they have their specific works that they work over. These men have very specific details concerning the works that will be assigned to them. The ones who are currently serving have works that they have at their hand, and in that these men do a great job making certain that these works are planned out and then that these works are also followed through with. And men, we commend you for the work that you have and continue to do. And the men who are going in to serve as deacons today, they will have very specific works. And those works, we're going to meet with them on January the 5th and make certain that all of our deacons know exactly the works that they have And then in like figure, we're going to provide those works as well as detailed instruction before the congregation so that you know not only the 14 men who will be serving in us as deacons, but you will know their works. And if you have a question concerning those works, then you go to those men and work with them in regard to the things that they have. Yes, the congregation works with the deacons. While these men are responsible for the work, we need to understand that it's not their full responsibility or their sole responsibility, rather, to do the work. You and I, as Christians, and I include myself in that, we have a responsibility to do what we can do with these men, whether it's teaching in classes, knocking on doors for outreach, helping in benevolence, driving the church bus, whatever area that these men ask us to work in, we should do all that we can do to help them meet their obligations to this congregation as well as to the Lord. As a congregation, good people, they need our continual support. We need to encourage them. Why? Because sometimes serving as a deacon can be very stressful. Am I right, guys, who are serving? Sometimes serving as a deacon, you have so much of a responsibility that it can become overwhelming. But also sometimes you will find that some people will be negative, and therefore these men need us to always be there to love and to encourage them, to help motivate them to keep on keeping on. And then we need to do what we can to work beside them, to put our hands to the work. We have all been created by God for the purpose of serving God. He has created us as servants in His kingdom, and deacons are special servants to make certain that the works are planned and that they will be accomplished. But yet each of us are servants. We have hands to serve our God, and therefore God commands us, as He blesses us with multiple talents, to put our hands to the Lord's work, to work beside these men to accomplish the great things of God. And then we need to support them, not only with our work, but also from a financial standpoint, to make certain that we contribute as the Lord commands us to contribute upon the first day of the week. Why? Because the works that we have as a church take money in order for us to accomplish those things. And congregation, you've done a great job. But still, as we look to ending this fiscal year, we need to look to the future and to say, what more can I do to help this congregation as well as to help the works that we are doing? Because when we give back to the congregation, that in essence is what we are doing as elders. We help to plan the work and then we lay that upon the deacons, and the deacons have to have funds in order to be able to accomplish the things that we have going on as a church. It would be wonderful if things were able to be done free, but we don't live in a free society, so therefore we need to keep giving more and more so that the work can continue to grow, to abound here at East End. And then we need to continually support these individuals, these men and their families, to honor them, to recognize them for the things that they are doing. I said a few moments ago that we might neglect recognizing them. Let's make certain that we don't do that. Let's make certain as a congregation that the ones who are serving, that we tell them continually how much we love and appreciate them for their work and service. Those who are getting ready to serve, let's let these men and their families always know how much we love them and how much we appreciate everything that they are doing for the body of Christ here. Why? Why should we do so? Good people, because God sets them apart, very specifically in Scripture, as men who serve in the church, who are notable of recognition amongst God's people. And therefore, let's do our part to honor and to recognize these men continually and to encourage them then that they might continue to serve the Lord to this capacity. Why? Because deacons are needed in the body of Christ. Today's lesson has not been necessarily about becoming a Christian, but certainly about those who are servants in the kingdom. And we thank our men who are serving, those men who are getting ready to be appointed here in this service. Thank you for stepping up, men, and your families for standing with you and with this congregation. but also we want to extend the Lord's invitation for anyone out there who is not a Christian to become a servant in the church, to put your sins away through baptism, to have your sins washed away through the watery grave of baptism, and then to be raised to walk in newness of life. The Lord says that in order for us to be counted as one of His children, that we must confess Christ to be the Son of the living God. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37 and following. But then also, it's more than confessing Christ. We must submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Jesus, while He was here, said, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned." We mentioned the day that the Lord's church was started in Acts chapter 2. As Peter delivered the sermon that day, the Scripture says unto us that there were people there who took it to heart what had been taught. Why? Because they became pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And we pray today that maybe you are here and your heart is pricked, that you want to be right with God. And maybe you're asking, "What shall I do? What is it that God requires me to do?" Here's what Peter said. "Repent, therefore, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sin." Well, what's he say? Baptism is essential for salvation. And baptism is for the remission of sin, to have your sins washed away. Acts 22 and verse 16. So today, if you're here and you're subject to the Lord's invitation to become a Christian, or maybe you're here and you've fallen by the wayside and you want to return to the Lord, and therefore you need the prayers of the church, we want to extend our God's invitation to you today.